I want to tell you a story this morning about a pastor. This pastor, you see, had a nice church with some very nice people. He loved these people very much. He prayed for them and taught them to love the Lord with all their hearts. It was his prayer that these people would live a life pleasing to the Lord, so that each one could have the best relationship they could have with their Savior. This pastor has come this morning to share his story. This is a true story about his life. So please pay attention. Ask the Lord to open your spiritual ears. After listening to his story and typing his story out this week, I've decided to title the story, "The Story of the Ornery Pastor." I use ornery because angry is such an un-Christian word. Ornery is much more spiritual, don't you think? The Story of the Ornery Pastor. We want you to know that the names have been changed to protect his identity, and that his face, if you're watching online, will be blanked out so you can't tell who he is, because of his embarrassment. This is a two-week story of the pastor we will call Pastor Ron. I want to just be a bit, all kidding aside, I want to be just a bit transparent this morning. I hope it'll help you this morning with anger. As you know, I'm going through a lot of trials, actually more than I think I ever have in my life. And you know, all of this is really out of my control. And you know, I've been sharing with you with texts and everything as much as I can. And I appreciate your prayers. Gene and I really appreciate that very much. My problem started about 2 weeks ago when I dropped my guard and forgot a couple of verses that I want to share with you right now. If you look at Romans 12:3, I'm not talking until I hear the pages stop turning, because I think this is important. Romans 12:3 says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." And while I'm talking here, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you would, please. After reading that verse, I just say, I was sitting at my desk, patting myself on the back, and telling myself what a good job I was doing handling all this pressure and problems. So then I come to 1 Corinthians 10:12. It's important. These are good verses to memorize. It says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." When we drop our guard and start thinking we're doing okay and everything is working out just fine, saying to ourselves, "I'm doing pretty good. I started to forget the Lord. My spiritual vision dropped from vertical to horizontal, starting looking at the things that are going on in my life." When this happens, I know very well, and it frustrates me sometimes that I fall so easily. The Bible tells us when this happens, sin is at the door. Just remember, this is very important to remember, our greatest spiritual defeats come right after a spiritual victory. We need to be very, very careful when we're having spiritual victory, because Satan is quick to jump down you. And I think we're quick to let our guard down also. And we allow our flesh to get the better of us. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, if you would. I got nervous. I thought I forgot my water. Ephesians chapter 4. verse 27. It says, nor give place to the devil. Nor give place to the devil. When we drop our guard, Satan is quick to move in. As I was patting myself on the back on how well I was handling things, pride snuck in, and I gave Satan a place, a foothold in my life. I just want to tell you, I'm glad the names were changed to protect the innocent, because I'm disappointed in myself and how easily I went downhill. Just let me share these last 2 weeks briefly, and I'm just hitting the highlights. This is how Satan works in your life when you have anger in your heart. I had a situation happen to me that hurt me deeply. This is where it all started. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to share it anymore. I've given it to the Lord. But I did not handle the situation properly. I should have committed to the Lord right then and there and then let him handle it, but I didn't. And it started to eat me. Anger does that, folks. It eats at you a little at a time. That night, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I couldn't sleep. I put my earbuds in to listen to VCY and a little radio I had by the bed there. When I put the earbud in my left ear, I couldn't understand the music. I could barely tell it was music. Well, I thought, well, maybe these earbuds were bad. So I switched the right ear to the left ear, and I still couldn't hear. Well, I thought, well, it's dark. Maybe I put the same earbud in my ear, so I switched them again. How do you keep a pastor busy in the middle of the night? It was like, oh boy, I can't hear out of that ear. But I had an MRI the day before, and I was all tied up. They tie you up in an MRI, and they thought, oh, we forgot the earplugs, so they crammed earplugs in my ears. And I know when I wear earplugs, I have a wax problem, probably too much information. And I thought that wax was plugged against my eardrum. So I called the doctor the next morning. He took me right in, looked in my ear, and said, there's no wax. It's like, dude, that's not good. He said, you should see the ENT doctor right away. Pam, the nurse, very nice lady, said that she called the ENT, and they would call me back with an appointment. She said Dr. Zuzik asked that they try to fit me in that day. Well, Gene and I waited around the house till about 3 o'clock, and I hadn't heard anything. So I called the ENT department up here at the hospital, and they said, you had an appointment at 2:30 and you didn't show up. Huh. I said, well, no one called. We called and you didn't come. I said, no, I didn't. No one called. Gene and I have been home all day, temperature rising. We went back and forth for a little while. I explained that I was not called at all, and the matter of fact, we were sitting here waiting for the call. I was irritated even more. Well, they got me in the next day, telling me the doctor was doing me a big favor, seeing that I already missed one appointment. A little anger in a hot, cold day is really nice. I'm kind of sweating. I'm really okay. I feel the doctor was rude to me the whole time. I think he was upset that I missed the appointment. And then I got thinking about it after all this was said and done, or was he? You know, when I'm in an ornery mood, everything seems sour. Are you like that? You know, nothing can go right. Nothing seems right. Now I was consumed with anger, with a situation that really hurt me deeply. And this situation, a doctor that can't admit they're wrong and make mistakes and blame me. Well, they weren't sure what was wrong with my ear, but he said a large dose of prednisone may help my hearing come back. He put me on 60 milligrams. And you know, I know prednisone makes me feel moody and, it makes me feel moody and, let's see, what did I write here? and hinders my sleep. I thought, bad timing. So now I have added to my ornery state tiredness and moodiness. Sorry, I think it's funny now, but it's really sad. See how things build up and work? He cut a hole in my eardrum. He poured steroids directly into my eardrum. And I was like, that really smarted. Now, I'm thinking in my chair, is he doing this to help me? Or is he just torturing me for missing my appointment yesterday? I have gotten some of my hearing back, by the way. Praise the Lord. But you know, folks, it's true, when you are angry, almost everything else just adds to the problem. By this time, I was really upset about the problem that hurt me deeply, angry with the doctor blaming me for their mistakes. I got a text on my phone from Walgreens saying my prednisone was ready to pick up. So Gene and I drove down there, went in to pick up the prescription. They said, we don't have a prescription for you. It's like, what? She said, we don't even have a prescription from that doctor. I said, you just texted me. No, we don't have it. So, we just picked it up the next day. But I called the doctor, told them that they had not gotten the prescription. She said, I sent that today. I said, well, ma'am, they don't have it. They said they don't have a prescription. She said, they have the prescription. I said, ma'am, they don't have the prescription. And we went back and forth. And finally, I said, do you just call them and see if they got the prescription? Which she called me back and said they did, that they had lied to me because they were so busy. So who do you believe? It's like, duh. I didn't even wear a coat that day. I was so steamed. So I decided to pick up the prescription the next day. Thought I'd come over to church to pick up the mail. Guess what? No mailbox. The plow destroyed it. Sent it to the retirement house. And that's the truth. Unbelievable. I climbed in the snow, which I should not have done. That was dumb. Because I don't have any feeling in my legs. I could just see myself falling all the way down the hill. That's a good thing that didn't happen. Got the mailbox, threw it in the trunk of the car. Unbelievable. Filled my shoes with snow, got my socks wet, but it didn't cool me off at all. Inside, I was boiling. It was late. We went over to Culver's. We usually get a dinner. We split it when we get home. It was late. Got home. Guess what? It wasn't all there. I was not a happy person sitting in my chair that night. I was actually pretty bad off. Saturday morning, I came up to church just to have a time with the Lord. I thought, you know what? You gotta get this done. Ask the Lord's forgiveness. I've asked folks to forgive me. And you know what? I'm back on guard duty now. Everything that I have just explained to you as I was typing that this week is really not that big of a deal. It really is not in the big scheme of life. But when we have allowed, when I have allowed anger to get a foothold in my life, you're going to have a big problem. You will. Someone once said, quick, angry motions of the heart will sometimes force themselves into expression by the hand. Though the tongue may be restrained, the very way in which we close a door or lay down a book may be a victory or a defeat. Havergal said that. Anger is an acid that can do more harm to the vessel in which it is stored than to anything on which it is poured. I like that. Winston Churchill said two things. One I would not recommend that you do. One that I would recommend you do. Winston Churchill said, when you are really, really angry, count to 10 out loud. And when you get to 8, throw the first punch. They're not expecting it. That was a joke, folks. Don't do that. He also said something very wise. He said he never had to apologize for something he never said. I like that. And that's something you should think about. Webster's dictionary says, anger is a strong feeling of annoyance, displeasure, or hostility. We live in an angry world. That's no news to you. I know Gene and I have been talking a little bit. It seems just recently that evil has been unleashed. Evil has been unleashed. People are angry, angry, angry. And they're showing it in many different ways. We often see anger revealed in rage. There's road rage. Do you ever think you see the day where people are shooting at each other on the interstate? That's crazy. That's crazy. We see road rage. We see cell phone rage. Checkout line rage. My wife was in line this last summer, and she was visiting with a lady, and the lady was working right along, and the lady behind her said, could you guys just be quiet and quit visiting? I got a cabin I got to get to. It's like, oh my goodness. People are crazy. We all are. Have you ever had the lost my wife in Walmart rage? I said to one guy, I gave my wife my wallet about 2 hours ago, and I haven't seen her. Just kidding. Regardless of the reason for our anger, in a few seconds we can say and do very hurtful things that can destroy a relationship that has taken years to build. We should be very careful about that, because Proverbs 18:19 says, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a castle. That means it's harder to patch up a broken relationship than to capture a strong city. And arguments separate friends like a castle with iron bars. Nothing hurts or destroys more relationships than anger. So today I want to look at three things briefly here. Three things. Let's begin, if you're following the sermon outline on the back of your bulletin, let's start with the categories of anger. The categories of anger. There are two categories of anger. Actually, there's three. There's a good anger, an anger that we as Christians should show more often with what's going on today. And I don't have time to speak about that, but I will come back to that another day. These two types of anger that I want to cover this morning are the first kind is let our anger loose, and the second is we hold on to it. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, if you would, please. Just like to look at one verse here. Ephesians 4:31. It says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, or evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Not me, you. Sorry. It's all of us. The word translated wrath here means hot anger or anger let loose. I call this kind of person, I got Harry Hothead, but I got to change that. Henry. Henry Hothead. You may know him or maybe even be him. A hothead defends himself by saying, I just blew my stack. You know, I got ticked off. I just told him off. You know, I got a short fuse. Everybody knows it. I just lost my temper. Proverbs 29:22 describes a hothead. Proverbs 29:22 says, an angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression. I want you to note that people whose tempers are uncontrolled are troublemakers. and constantly stirring up strife. When people are inflamed with anger, they commit all kinds of sin and cause damage that still remains after their anger cools. No matter how disturbing the situation, we must strive to control our tempers. We need to understand harsh, cutting words cannot be taken back. Damage done in the heat of the moment cannot be undone. The Bible warns us not to sin in the heat of anger, Ephesians 4:26. Self-control is the key to victory over a quick temper. So in Ephesians 4:31, I see two things here. The first category of anger is wrath, and we've already talked a little bit about that. It's hot anger, or anger let loose. It is very dangerous because when we lose our tempers, we can also lose our jobs, our best friends, or even worse. The anger we call wrath has destroyed more relationships and families than anything else. And the Bible commands us to get rid of all wrath. That means don't lose your temper. So the first category is wrath. B, the second category is just simply anger, it says there in verse 31. The Bible says we are also to get rid of all anger. The word translated anger is a Greek word meaning orge, which suggests a more controlled anger, frequently with a view of taking revenge. While wrath is more agitated outburst of emotions, orge is more lasting in its nature. Orge anger smolders just below the surface. And the Bible speaks about that in Ephesians 4:26. It actually speaks about both kinds in Ephesians 4:26. Good memory verse. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Phyllis Diller had a paraphrase of that verse. She said, never go to bed angry. Stay up and fight. Not a good idea. I wrote here funny, but that's not exactly what Paul had in mind here. He said, we are not to let our angers simmer. We must deal with it before the sun goes down. That's where I made one of my mistakes. Allowing our anger to smolder gives the devil a foothold that will develop into bitterness, hate, and malice. I thank the Lord we got that straight in only a week or so. Some people struggle with anger in their lives for years, become bitter people. That's sad to me. And they hate, and they have malice. I hope that's not you. Then I want to, let's just look briefly at the causes of anger. The causes of anger, point number three. Anger is like one of the red lights on the dashboard of our cars, is a warning that something is wrong. So to control our anger, we must always ask ourselves, what has caused me to get angry? And I think I see three things, at least, that I'm going to share with you. The first one is hurt. A is hurt. Hurt causes us to get angry. Physical hurt. When we hit our thumbs with a hammer, we don't naturally say, praise the Lord, or softly say, oh my, that hurt. No, we throw the hammer, do a little angry dance, and say a few words that we wouldn't say in church. And you know, folks, we probably shouldn't say it anyway. There is physical hurt, and then there's emotional hurt. And that hurts just as bad as physical hurt. If you're taking notes, B, insecurity causes us to get angry. Insecurity causes us to get angry. A good self-image is essential to attacking our anger. Being easily angered by what people say is a sure sign of an insecurity problem. That's why we have the command in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 21. I like this verse. It says, "Also do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear your servants cursing you out." Don't believe everything people say. We shouldn't depend on the opinion of others for our self-esteem. There will be times in life when people say critical, negative, hurtful things about us. And the more insecure we are, the more angry we will be about those kinds of remarks. And then C, frustration. Frustration causes us to get angry. Failing to accomplish an objective can frustrate us to the point of anger. Frustration is basically the lack of patience. And Proverbs 14:29 tells us all about that. Proverbs 14:29 says, "He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly." This means we should encourage understanding. We should try to understand people and situations and even read the instructions before starting a project rather than getting frustrated and angry. Three causes of anger: hurt, insecurity, and frustration. So now let's consider point four, the cure for anger. To attack our anger, we must first understand anger is a choice. How does that make you feel? Anger is a choice. Let me prove it. Ever been in a heated argument? You are using loud, agitated voice, but the phone rings, and you answer the phone in a calm, sweet voice, "Hello." We can control our anger. We can. We can control our anger if we do three things. Point A, constrain our words. Constrain our words. Most of the time, we express our anger by what we say. Proverbs 12:18 gives us a good principle to follow. Proverbs 12:18. "There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health." Someone has said the quickest way to cut your own throat is with a sharp tongue. Reckless words can hurt worse than physical blows. B, if you're taking notes, we not only need to constrain our words, but consider the consequences. Actually, if you did all three of these points, you wouldn't be angry anymore. That's the point of all this. We act so rationally, and I should have put the book out. My reactions are showing. It's a great little book. Something happens quick, we respond, and usually in the wrong kind of way. We need to consider the consequences. We should ask ourselves, is it worth hurting someone else? What kind of example is this? We should also consider, how does Christ feel about this? Is it hurting my Christian testimony? Also, we should ask ourselves, do I want to act foolishly? That's what we do when we lose our tempers. Proverbs 29:11 says, "A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back." What it is saying to those of us that lose our temper? While we are on the subject, let me offer a word of advice. Don't try to reason with someone who is angry. The Bible tells us we cannot reason with a fool. And when a person is angry, he or she is acting foolishly. Proverbs 23, verse 9. "Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words." That's a truth. The Bible also warns us in Psalms 37:8, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." Then point C, control our response. Control our responses. Angry responses don't solve problems. They make them worse. When we get angry, our mouths and reactions go faster than our minds. Anger is temporary insanity. So stop and think before responding. Have you ever said or done something in anger and then 5 minutes later asked yourself, why in the world would I do something so foolish? Have you ever done that? That's why James 1:19 tells us, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Anger is a choice. We get angry because we choose to, not because we have to. We must stop blaming people or events for our anger. It's not our parents, our spouses, or our kids, or our boss's fault. It's not the circumstance or the event that is causing our anger. It's our reaction that causes anger. Begin attacking anger by praying, Lord, help me attack my anger. Begin right now. Lord, help me to constrain my words, consider the consequences, and control my responses. In Jesus' name, amen. So in closing here, I wrote, never go to bed angry. Never go to bed angry. Have you ever gone to bed sizzling with anger about what someone did or didn't do, or what someone said or didn't say? If you think about it, you'll realize that this last phase pretty well summarizes the primary reasons people get offended, insulted, irritated, or upset. Isn't it true that people's various responses or lack of responses is a given situation, in a given situation, can send you to bed fuming if you allow yourself to take offense and get all worked up? I have to admit that I've gone to bed angry on more than one occasion. How about you? Have you ever tossed and turned this way and that way, unable to sleep because you were aggravated about something that happened? Did you become more and more angry the longer you thought about the issue? Well, Ephesians 4:26 and 27 says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. So don't go to bed angry and let your minds become a movie screen on which the devil can portray every foul thing he wants you to meditate on all night long. That only allows the enemy to steal your peace and infuriate you even further. He loves that. He loved to really get you going. And you know what? We can be foolish and allow him to do it. You know what? I had Paul read Psalms 2 today. I just want to mention this. I got a little bit of time. Do you know what, folks? The unsafe person has no control over anger. You know why? Because they serve the evil one, Satan. They have no choice. The people, you know, in our government, wherever, our bosses, where we work, if they don't know Christ as their Savior, they're serving the evil one. And they're going to be evil. And they're going to do things that we don't like. They have no control over that, folks. But we do. We do. The Bible says, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I became a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I don't have to be angry. I don't have to live in anger. I don't. I don't have to live in fear. I don't have to be discouraged. I don't have to be. They're all choices that I make that allow that to happen in my life. But we don't have to, because we have the Holy Spirit living within us. Understand that. So, why not instead deal with anger or unforgiveness before your head ever hits the pillow? Do everything you can to stay free of anger, wrath, and strife. For these fleshly emotions are the entry points the devil uses to wage war in our minds. If something or someone has upset or offended you, you will only make matters worse if you let yourself go to bed angry. And I just want to close with these verses again. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. I read these last week too. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Amen.